Good morning. Thank you again for joining us. We pray that, again, you're encouraged in your faith, you're encouraged in your walk, that you have a deeper, more faithful walk is a prayer I pray every day for God, who God brings to our service, our gathering. And this is a special time of year that we go to the Lord and really evaluate, really seek, Lord, where is it that I need to humble myself and really surrender to you. We call it Lent. It's the 40 days before Easter, and it's a chance for us again to take some perspective, a step back, and evaluate, and seek the Lord in different ways, whether it be like at the prayer vigil on Friday through Saturday, or start up a new Bible study and really start to just dig in more of God's work in this world and in us. And how do we partner with him in that? How do we grow in that? And so we want to encourage you in this time of Lent that God is looking to grow us up all the time. He's looking to help his children, you and I, grow again in faith, hope, and love. But the reality is it starts off small, and he keeps growing us. He's got to till the soil. He's got to cut things back. He's got to prune things. He's got to make sure that all things that we need, we have. And he's a good father, and he'll do that. But it takes us to actually lean in as well. Nothing can stop him, for sure. But he gives us that freedom to work with him, to partner, to get to know, to love, and be loved. In that, he wants us, again, to grow and flourish like these amazing redwoods that just keeps growing up into the sky. He wants us to do that, but it doesn't happen overnight. But it does happen daily. And what I mean by that is it's as we surrender more to Jesus, we start to begin to know of his love, know of his work, know of his will for our lives, what his best is, in other words, and then how to partner with him in that. And I hope and pray that that encourages you. I hope and pray that you know that God isn't just trying to be far off and just, you know, hide or anything like that. He wants you to know his will for the world, of his mission in the world, to restore the whole world to himself, to restore you and I to him, to have a deep relationship with each one of us. But he also has a personal will for us that we can know and we can actually live into. And it's something that we can discern over time with usually help of others, with lots of prayer and some reflection. And so I just want to encourage you in that this season of Lent, don't miss it. It's a beautiful opportunity for us to prepare our hearts, our minds, our souls, the place where we meet God, to really grow and flourish in him. Now, again, I share this idea based on this idea of like a reservoir, that as God pours into us and helps us to just be filled up and overflowing, that as we serve him, and if we serve him out of the overflow, then there's always more to give to others. But if we just serve him with just a little bit that we have, if I take a cup and I just pour a little bit in there and I pour it out, I got nothing left. But if I keep pouring into that cup and the cup is just being overflowed, then we can use that even more, and it goes longer. And so I just want to encourage you that our lives are meant to be overflowing in God. Now, we've been in a series now. We just started a series last week in the book of Acts, and how the story continues, chapters 5 through 8. And so we're going to jump into that just really quick. Acts chapter 5 is all about this new community that's been formed, this amazing work that God is doing in this new movement of God. And yet it's all in line with what God has taught from Abraham, Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, and just all throughout Scripture, how God connects those dots, how the early church really starts to celebrate. And in Acts chapter 6, we look at the family widows and how there's some challenges. And they call the deacons, and they pray over them, and they anoint them, and they just ask God to keep helping the church flourish. They have the elders who are focused on leading and praying for the church. And then they have these deacons that come to serve and to care for the spiritual needs of the congregation. So it's beautiful and wonderful. On this day, kind of, we can talk a little bit about that, being that we were prayed for our elders earlier. But I just want to encourage you, keep praying for our church, keep praying for our church elders. They're people like you and me that said yes to being called on to serve, And they're going to do it with all diligence, with all imagination, with love. But they're going to do it depending on Jesus. And I'm grateful for their willingness and their surrender of that. Acts chapter 7 is all about Stephen's story. Stephen becomes this deacon, and because God uses him, I call it his frontline ministry, he does such a great job on that, that at the time, the religious elite, the leaders were really nervous about what this Jesus teaching was all about, and they were afraid. And they see this Stephen who's doing amazing things, God's using him, and they go and arrest him and say, hey, this guy can't do what he's supposed to be, he's not supposed to do that. And long story short, he ends up giving and sharing his story and explaining how through all the things that God has done in part one, I like to say, right, in the Bible, part one, the Old Testament, and how it all makes sense in Jesus. And in that, he ends up actually giving up his life. Very sad way that works out, but yet God's not done. At his death, Luke writes in Acts that it causes Jesus to stand up and notice. It causes Jesus, who's at the right hand of God the Father, judging and ruling the world, that he takes notice, and he's on the same level of God. And so it's just a beautiful image, again, of such a tragic moment, but it wasn't the end of the story. We have this Paul, who's at the time now Saul, who's a part of the stoning, who actually helps take care of all the people that are taking care of God's business, and I put that definitely in quotes. They take care of the coats so that they don't get dirty and messy when they go to kill this man, who they believe, again, is misleading and not honoring God. They think they're doing the work of God. And that's a caution for all of us that we need to be careful about how we do the work of God, that we need to do it in alignment with what Scripture teaches, not in spite of it. And then in the book of Acts is when we see a little bit more of Paul again, kind of making, Luke is kind of opening us up to what how he's going to prepare to share this amazing transformation, which you'll hear maybe a little bit more about that next week. But the book of Acts is all about the magician and the finance minister. And what I mean by that is there's this whole like sorcerer magician who's doing his thing, and he hears about this Jesus, and he's like, I want some of that, so I can manipulate it and be more powerful, so I can get more respect from people. And the leadership of the church say, no, you need to repent. You need to stop. You need to not think that way anymore. That's not your way. You need to actually pray to God about it. And his response real quick is, can you pray for me? And I'm like, wow, how about that? They're like, listen, pray to God. Talk to him about it. And he doesn't want to. He pulls back. No, why don't you pray for me instead? And I think that's a warning for all of us, that we are called, each one of us, to come before the Lord, to seek him, to know him, to get to know him, and to share our struggles, share our questions, our heart with him. And then it ends with this gentleman who's from a faraway land in Africa, and he ends up becoming, at the end of the story, it's a little spoiler alert, he ends up becoming the very first non-Jew that we have recorded in Scripture that starts to evangelize, that starts to tell people in his country. He's up in the cabinet from Ethiopia, probably the first black convert to come to know the Lord that then becomes the first evangelist. So lots of exciting things here. I call it the first ride along. So we're going to look at some time here. But before we go any further, we're going to pray and ask God to just truly bless this time. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for a chance for us to gather. Thank you for the story of Acts that's so fast-moving. Help us not to miss it. Help us not to miss all that there is in there. Help us to grow and again see how you're working in our hearts. See how you're working in this world. That the same thing that happened back then, you're still doing today. You're using your people. You're working with your people to share the hope about your son, Jesus. So, Lord, help us not to miss it. Help us to fully engage with what you have for us. We give you thanks, we give you praise in your name. Amen. So, exciting moment here when it comes to this Philip. This Philip has just been, again, dealing with this, sharing the hope he has in Samaria. Again, not Jews, but yet people that were near near Jerusalem and another area in the country, but again, had some different beliefs and stuff, but they come to know Jesus. And Philip shares so much. And then God directs this Philip somewhere else. And what I love about this is he just is open to God's leading. He's open to following wherever God is calling him to go and to serve. And that's a challenge for each one of us to say, Lord, where do you want me to go today? Now, you might be like, I'm in COVID lockdown right now. I'm not going anywhere. Don't be discouraged. God has you right where he wants you. How can you still be a part of his work? It could be praying for people. It could be picking up the phone and giving a call. When was the last time you called 3 to 5 people just to encourage them and just to help them know you're going to get through this. You're not alone. God's going to help us with this. Just keep the faith. I challenge you to do that. Pray about it. Give write down three names. Reach out to them. Let them know. It'd be great if maybe you called the same person who's calling you. but again, this message is just a beautiful design of how God works in people that are just open and receptive to what he wants to do in their lives and through their lives. So let's jump into the text. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza. So he's telling him where to go. Sometimes we have these promptings, we have these movements where God wants to just have us go somewhere or do something. Sometimes we go. We don't know exactly what's going on. Obviously, he's, you know, the movement is new and fresh, and he's trying to kind of work it out and fan that flame. So my point here, just really short and simple, is we need to pay attention. We need to realize that the perfect time is now to start praying that we'll be open, that we'll follow God's lead. Pray for your relationship with the Lord. Pray for to follow his lead. Pray to follow what he's doing in this nation, in this world. How can you and I pay attention to where he has us? To pay attention to who he's working in, the circumstances, situations people are going through. How can we, again, encourage them? So what does he do? He actually obeys. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, okay? Part of the cabinet. It was very common practice back in that time period to protect any type of overthrow, any type of trying to, you know, make your own kingdom kind of thing, if you will. And so this is someone who is a foreigner, one, and two, a eunuch, someone who couldn't even convert to Judaism. And the beautiful thing, Philip doesn't try to convert him to Judaism. He actually encourages him to know and seek out this Jesus, as we'll see. So he meets this Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which again, so he's the treasurer of this country. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Now, don't miss this, that God is already at work in this person's life. God is already at work and trying to help him know of his love, know of his work, know of his story. He's reading it and not understanding it, okay? He's reading it, and he's just trying to get into it. But the Lord is knowing where he's at, knowing his questions and stuff, and he's digging in. Now, something you need to understand is that in this text, it's not just stuff he's reading about that's happening then. He's reading about in this book called Isaiah about this prophecy that happened several hundred years earlier about, again, what God was going to do in them and through them. Well, the cool thing about this that I like, in my humble opinion, is that as he reads this, he's blown away because Isaiah, he's quoting this chapter called 53, or in Isaiah, and in there it's all about this new creation that God is looking to do through his Messiah and what's going to happen to the Messiah. It kind of gives like a job description of what this Messiah is going to be, the one that's promised by God to bring hope, restoration to the whole world. See, the people in Isaiah is writing to are in exile. They have rebelled against God. They have left. They have abandoned. They have cheated on God. And God said, "Well, I'm going to let you, you know, reap what you sow. I'm going to let you kind of lean into what those choices were and let you live with the results." But he didn't do it because he was just like, "I'm mad, I'm out." He did it to bring them back. He lets pain happen in our lives or he disciplines us, which can be painful, so that it draws us back so that we learn, man, that wasn't good. I feel so far from God. And there was not much hope. Much of Israel was just kind of like, you know, Lord, are you gonna ever forgive us? And Isaiah promises there's going to be forgiveness, there's going to be restoration. And so we have this job kind of description in Isaiah 53, and then you kind of have this restoration. And even for all people, we see this in Isaiah 55, even the eunuchs. And so this is a wonderful promise for him who's always been an outsider, who's trying to understand how does he fit into this story that God's been telling, even though he can't be part of that family. And so I think it's just so beautiful that God knows where his heart is. He's already at work, and so he's sending Philip to help him. So this is what happens in the text. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Be open, be available, in other words. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he asked him a question. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. He's coming. And he's excited. He's trying to follow God's lead. He's being open and receptive to what God's doing in this person's life. So he starts with a question. Always a good start, by the way. When you're wanting to share the hope you have about your faith, about this Jesus that we call friend, that he calls us friend, that we call Savior, we got to come in the right way. Now, he doesn't have a relationship with this person. So he just kind of walks alongside the chariot and hears him talking. Now the Lord's led him here, but the Ethiopian eunuch doesn't know that. He just sees this gentleman here and asks a question. Oh, do you understand what you're reading? He's trying to find an open door. And that's where we have to be open. We have to be wise in how we approach our friends and our family and those we just meet for the first time. Maybe there's something God just wants you to give a word of encouragement. Maybe just to let him know, hey, God hasn't forgotten you. And that's all you have to say. Sometimes it's going to be more like what happens in this case here with Philip. But it's just know that God's already at work in the person's life. Our responsibility is to come in the way that would best connect with that person. And there's going to, at times, folks, we're going to do it wrong. We're going to mess it up. We're going to misread it, or we're just going to not understand. But that's where we have to, again, let the grace, you know, let God wash us over and stuff, and let us start afresh. Hey, what worked with this person? What didn't work? Are they open and receptive? Then maybe lean in more and talk more. If they're closed, then maybe hey, you know what? God is a perfect gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anyone. So let's follow his lead. And knowing that he's got questions, he's, again, pairing up Philip and this Ethiopian treasurer to try to connect and help him with his questions. As it continues, he replies like this, how can I unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. He's looking for answers. And guess what? He's going to get them. And here's the great thing. There are answers for an outsider. There's answers for someone who is not part of the inner circle, who's not part of the church, not part of the Jewish people, the Israelites. No, he's right now as far away, according to the law, according to, again, the Torah, that he just can't come into God's presence. There isn't a hope and a future for him because of his current situation. And yet Jesus changes everything. That's why we are so excited about who Jesus is and what he's done for us and in us and through us and for the whole world. Jesus changes everything. And so he's wanting him to know there's no more outsider. That if you just call out, if you just humble yourself, if you just seek him out, you can have a new life, a new relationship with God. He provides that way. And it's as simple as just closing your eyes and asking him, coming to him and saying, Lord, I need you. I want you part of my life. And that is all God's work. He's done it all. We just have to receive it. And then that's when we actually start to work out what that means to walk in step with him, to live in accordance with him, to read and understand his story and how our story and how it relates. It doesn't happen overnight, but what a great journey we're on. Sometimes we're going to feel super close to the Lord and to other believers. Other times we might just feel very alone. But the good news is God is always working it out so that we can actually grow. He'll use it. He'll never waste a hurt. He'll never waste a pain. If we turn it over to him, it's amazing how he can use it for good. I continue. This is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. So he goes on to ask, who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. So here, this job description in Isaiah, this quote again from chapter 53, I like to say is threads, okay? There's this amazing how the New Testament doesn't make sense unless you read the Old Testament, unless you understand where they're coming from. And so he's trying to help explain to this eunuch, this man who's got real questions, like, what is he talking about? Who is this person? The eunuch asks, Philip, tell me, who is this person talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and then told him the good news about Jesus. Here, this is why it's important. This is why we encourage you every week, if you don't have a Bible that you can understand and read, you need to get one. We'll give it to you. If you have never really read the Scriptures and had a chance to dialogue, that's why we encourage this thing called microgroups. Again, it's online. We'd love for you to join us in that. Check it out on our growing section on our website. But Philip, knew the story. He knew God's story that he'd been telling, and he understood Jesus' amazing gift and story and how God worked through him, and now his empowering of the church to be his hands and feet in the world. And so he's telling this story to him. He's wanting them to know. He's wanting this eunuch to know that he is now able to come to God just as he is, freely before him. He doesn't have to understand it all. That comes in time. But he does have to seek it and surrender to it. And so I just want to encourage you that you need to know the story that you're a part of, that we're a part of. And that's going to take some time. It's going to take some reading. It's going to take some questions. What's going on here? Why is this going on here? What's happening here? And then understand again how God is calling us to share this hope, the hope that we have in him. That's not just a phrase. Just before we recorded this, I just got off the phone with a gentleman in our church family who lost his son unexpectedly. His family is really shocked, really struggling. It wasn't expected. He never came out of the surgery, never woke up. And it was such a shock. And I just tried to encourage him. I said, the hope that we have in Jesus, he knew the Lord. He's resting in the Lord. He rests in peace, rest in peace. But he'll rise in glory. And it's not just for the end of time or the end of someone's life. We have that hope now. We can have that hope every moment of the day. And it's important for us to know it and live into it. He knew the story. We need to know the story. We can't share our hope in Jesus effectively, especially in our circle of influence, unless we know the story. Okay? As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, now listen, he's pumped, okay? He's getting it. He realizes, I get new life. I'm part of the family now. I'm not an outsider anymore. I get to actually be a part of what God's doing in this world, not just maybe someday, maybe I'll get a few times of prayer and stuff. No, like, we can have an intimate, flourishing relationship with him. And so he says, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? He's like, I see some water. Can we use that? Can we get this started? There's so many times when again, people come to know the Lord. They come to receive Jesus, and then immediately they get baptized. And sometimes in some sections it says, and their whole household. Their whole household didn't make a profession, but they're getting baptized too because they're wanting God to transform their whole lives. This is a whole new experience, a whole new relationship with the Lord. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. What a great story. Again, someone that's an outsider, not because he titled himself and any choice he made, probably. It was done to him. And yet, God heard his cry. Sends someone to help him understand. I mentioned microgroups earlier. They're a great opportunity to read the Scripture with two other people. There's a group of three. And discuss it. Talk about it. Pray about it. What's the Lord teaching you here? What are you going to do about it? But he sends someone to help him with the questions and then helps him make those connections to the point where he becomes a child of God. He becomes part of the family. And it's just beautiful. But a couple things I just want to encourage you to do. Before you ever share any faith or any hope you have in Jesus, pray first. Pray for wisdom. Pray for clarity. Pray for the words. And again, maybe not using so many words. The phrase less is more really is helpful when it comes to sharing your hope and faith. Ask good questions. Pray first. Seek the Lord. Lord, you know, what can I do? Maybe even read books on how to share your faith. There's some wonderful ones out there. I'd recommend one by Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard and Apologetics for Sharing Your Faith, and it'll pop up. Great stuff, really good stuff. Very respectful, very kind, powerful questions, and again, just helpful when it comes to sharing our faith. Another aspect is to widen your circle. Who has God called you to serve and be around? Who's he placed you with? How can you be open to your current circle and maybe, again, who God brings in? The eunuchs in your life, the people that just kind of show up. You know, you're at Publix or something like that, and you're shopping and you're kind of heading out, and maybe there's someone there, and you got an impression, a movement, you feel a burden to pray for them, or to just, I just want to let you know God's working in your life. I don't know what's going on, but he knows God's faithful. It could be something as simple as that. It could be something just seeing someone really struggling and hurting, maybe at work or in school, or in our neighborhood. In your neighborhood, and just be open and present, pray, and say, have some courage, and don't be afraid to ask. And then ask, what are their questions? Try to understand their questions. Don't ever try to answer a question they're not asking. It's just not helpful. It's not going to help move the conversation, let alone help them usually progress in faith. So what are their questions, and how can you help connect with them? So I hope that encourages you. I hope that blesses you. It's important for you and I to lean in and understand that God is at work in people's lives all over the world. It's our job to be open and receptive to how God wants to use us and work through us. And so it, again, begins with us humbling ourselves. It begins with us reading and knowing God's story and then being open and receptive in our normal everyday. So it's a question for you, a question to consider. Where are you at with this? Who's in your circle? Who's in your circle of influence? The people that God has placed you around, your sphere of influence is where you probably can be most effective in your ministry, in sharing the hope that we have in Jesus. That when someone shares their struggles and their pain, immediately pray again first for them. Pray and ask God for wisdom. Do they need to hear an encouraging word? Do they just need to have someone listen? Just be still and encourage them through just being present. Maybe you need to pray for wisdom and boldness of what to say. Maybe you need to say a word and encourage them in their journey. But know this, you're not in it alone. God's working in you. He wants to work through you. Our job is to be responding to his lead, okay? So be encouraged in that, and don't be afraid. But again, look at who God's put you around and begin to pray for them. Pray that God would give you open some doors in conversations. It could be the Canasta group you meet with, or the pickleball group you meet with, or friends you work with. But who is it that God's placed you around that you can lean in and share the hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus? Last, I just want to remind you again about our prayer vigil beginning this Friday at 8 p.m., and it'll go till 8 p.m. Saturday. We want to encourage you, set either reminders on a watch or on a phone. Do something to help you be a part of it, to encourage you to pray and again, seek the Lord. Again, go to our website and download the prayer guide. The prayer guide, again, is going to be kind of guide you through a series of questions to seek the Lord about and process and really lift up. And then just to kind of help you in Scripture, kind of where to go to with the Lord, how we can lean in and understand him better and follow him closer. So now, we got, before the benediction, we got some homework. We always have some homework. Acts 9 through 12. Now, Acts 9 through 12 is going to be a great time for you. There's so much going on there. you're gonna really enjoy it. In fact, next week we're gonna have a special speaker share about this, and I'm so excited for you. You don't want to miss it. We have a gentleman named Alex Hagenbaumer who is just a pot of gold. You're gonna love him, and so don't miss it. Please make sure you do the reading so you can even engage in the message even more. So now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. And He has a purpose.